Brian Wilson, Mary Walter are in the house, and joining us on the line is Joe Concha, media reporter for The Hill, the guy who's become the go-to guy when it comes to getting, you know, good analysis of what's going on with the mainstream media. Joe, good morning to you.
You got that nice bottle of Pinot I sent you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thanks for the check, too. Hey, listen, no kidding. We got to talk about Roger Ailes. Now, I mean, it's a complicated conversation to have given all that has occurred in the last year. I worked for him for 12 years, and I have very mixed emotions about what I've learned and what I've heard and the man that I knew. Talk about Roger Ailes and his impact on cable television in a way that will change TV forever.
Impact was so great that everything you see now, in terms of even the background it being blue on every network, that's him. Because he said, well, it's the same color as the sky, it's natural, so let's do blue with all our backgrounds. So Fox does it, and then everybody else does it. That's just a small example, but in terms of, I think Charles Krauthammer says it best. He says, Roger Ailes, the genius of his work was that he realized that there was a niche audience out there for a Fox News. Half the American people, right? Because he realized, hey, wait a minute, everybody seems to be left-leaning or even more left, and we need something to balance out the seesaw. And sure enough, it debuted in 1996, Fox News, and within 5 years, think about that, because CNN had been around since 1980 and was just dominant, and there was no competition. It went to number one, and it stayed there for 15 years. So it's just amazing. But I think his biggest attribute, to be quite honest with you, is the fact that he does something that most cable news executives won't dare do, and that is trust his instincts when it comes to finding talent. He doesn't look at resumes. He doesn't look at experience, what school he went to. Think about the primetime lineup just last year. Hey, I can picture this conversation, like him talking to somebody else in the building. Hey, I'm going to put Bill O'Reilly at 8 o'clock. O'Reilly, the guy from Inside Edition? He's going to be your political commentator? Yeah, I think I see something there. And look what happened, right?
Right.
Yeah. Megyn Kelly, I'm going to hire her. She doesn't have any experience in journalism. She's been a lawyer. She never even went to journalism school or communications in college. Yeah, but I like what I see in these little tapes that she sent me. I'm going to hire her. Boom. Sean Hannity. The guy with the weird hair that just goes off, the crazy conservative? Yep, him. I'm going to hire him. And sure enough, that's what happened. So he went outside the box, and I think that was his biggest attribute, trusting his instincts instead of looking at a piece of paper.
I was told one time that he actually looked and evaluated talent by looking at the tapes with the sound turned down.
Oh, yeah, that's documented in a 2013 book, Roger Ailes Off Camera. He would look at it because he wanted to recognize if you had presence, if you had gravitas. Mm-hmm. These are all things. Do you fill the screen? And if you do it that way, apparently that's more effective because the audio can be distracting. Yeah, that's kind of funny, right?
Yeah, obviously, the Fox News Channel is in an uproar now since Roger Ailes has left. Do you have any idea of what he thought of the changes that were made at his network after he left?
What did he think?
Yeah, did you have any idea of what he thought of the direction was going? Let's face it, the ratings are down.
Oh, yeah. Fox has been in third place a couple of nights now. When Donald Trump is doing poorly, Fox does poorly. The last time Fox finished in third place, which it has over the last couple of nights consecutively, was the Democratic National Convention, because Fox viewers generally don't want to watch Democrats bashing Republicans. Right. And when Trump's in trouble, then the network gets in trouble. Now, after Ailes left, that was July of 2016, the network still went on to have its best year ever. And the first quarter of this year was its most watched in history.
Okay.
Lately, they've had problems. So I connect that more to Trump, even though I do admit they do have some problems at 9 o'clock with the five. That's not a 9 o'clock show. You know,
right.
It's too.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot of people sitting around a table, and it's done great at five, but at nine, I don't know against Matt Al. You need something weightier there. So, what did he think? I don't know. He was very reclusive. He didn't do any interviews since he left.
There have been a lot of stories, it seems to me, in the last few days that have turned out to be absolutely not true. And a lot of things that get reported that when you really buckle down and study it, you find out that didn't really happen. You've noticed some of this as well, have you not?
Yes. I'm writing about this today. As far as how bias happens, why it happens, and how it metastasizes like a cancer. All right, and I'm going to give you a small example, which sounds funny at first, but then think about it. Sean Spicer, last week, it's reported by the Washington Post exclusive, that he is hiding in the bushes with his team, cowering.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, I saw this, yeah.
From reporters, right? So that story goes viral, right? And then a correction comes out, but, you know, they say a lie can go halfway around the world before the truth can even get its pants on, and that was said by Churchill. So you figure now a lie can go a billion times around the world before the truth can get its pants on with social media. So it goes viral, and you're like, okay, that's bad. They do the correction. Not a lot of people see it. Saturday Night Live falls in love with the fake narrative, and they do a skit as its lead skit with Melissa McCarthy, and then that goes viral. So now we have a double viral situation. And then the Washington Post has the audacity to do stories celebrating the fact that Saturday Night Live did a skit on their fake news story. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now Spicer's reputation, not that it was anything great, but this is now his legacy, him hiding in the bushes, because all over the world now there are photoshops of Sean Spicer in bushes when people are taking normal shots, right?
Right.
Now, here's the thing. Sarah Palin can tell you all about this, because she, remember, was portrayed by Tina Fey, and Fey said, I could see Russia from my house, and it was a good joke, and it was funny. And you say, well, no one believed that Palin said that. Zogby did a poll in October 2008. 87% of Americans really think that Palin said that and still think that probably to this day. So the Saturday Night Live effect is very real, and most of the time it's based on a fake narrative and not a real one.
Now, I know that the right doesn't really have an entertainment outlet to do this, but is there a reason why the Republicans can't master the media? Quick answer.
Because when the media plays the opposition party, like Steve Bannon said, and I'm not saying that's everybody, and I hate saying media, it's political media, you're never going to get a fair shake. So, yeah, they'll never master it because they'll always be seen as the opposition. They'll never get a fair shake.
Yeah.
All right, we'll leave it there. Joe Concha with
Thanks,
The Hill.
Joe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.